24. We rallied at Starbase Ace. I drove Cruz and Deal there in my car, and we pulled up in front of the store just a few minutes before my mother arrived in her own car. My father wasn't with her. "Where's Dad?" I asked. "What happened?" "He drove separately," she replied, before pointing up at the sky overhead. A second later, my interceptor swooped into view. My father brought the ship in for a perfect landing in the strip mall's crumbling parking lot and ran over to greet us. After my mother and I each gave him a quick hug, I introduced him to Cruz and Deal, who had watched his arrival in awestruck silence. I unlocked the store and let everyone inside. When my father saw the store shelves lined with high-end Armada and Terra Firma flight controllers, he broke into a broad smile. "This is perfect," he said, as he began to grab items off the shelves and hand them to each of us. "I need each of you to build the best rig you can, as fast as you can." The moment I finished setting up a makeshift drone controller pod for myself in the store's war room, my father called me back into the tiny, cluttered room that served as Ray's office. He was ransacking the place. "What are you looking for?" I asked. He nodded at the QCOM on his wrist. It displayed a map of the local neighborhood with an EDA icon hovering over the location of Starbase Ace. "There's a secret access node for the EDA's hard-line fiber-optic intranet hidden somewhere at this location," he said, "but I can't find it." I remembered something Ray had told me during our shuttle ride to Crystal Palace. That Glaive fighter I'd seen outside my classroom window. He'd said it was a scout ship conducting surveillance on the EDA's hard-line intranet. When I'd spotted it hovering over Beaverton, it had probably been in the process of scanning the secret intranet access node hidden here in the store. But if the Europans knew about the EDA's backup intranet, why hadn't they bothered to destroy or disable it before they invaded? Because their actions have never made any sort of tactical sense, I thought. Why start now? My father continued to tear through the office. He began to pull books off a nearby shelf one at a time, then suddenly raked the remaining ones off with his arm in frustration. "It'll be concealed behind an armored access panel, like a safe. Any ideas?" I shook my head. "We don't have a safe," I said. "We never needed one." I held up my QCOM. "But I've got Ray's number." "Be careful what you say," he warned. "Vance could be monitoring your QCOM." "Not anymore," I told him. After Vance broke in on my conference call with the Armistice Council, Lex helped me turn on my QCOM's hidden security mode, the same feature that Vance uses to prevent his own QCOM from being monitored. "Captain Larkin appears to be something of a genius, doesn't she?" I caught him studying my face for a reaction and blushed involuntarily. I nodded in reply, then pulled up my contacts and tapped the last name listed there. Ray Habishaw. His face instantly appeared on my display. His name, rank, and current location appeared across the bottom. He was at an EDA base in Arizona called Gila Mountain. "Zach!" he shouted. "Where are you? Are you okay?" He lowered his voice and moved his QCOM camera a bit too close to his mouth. "I heard you and your father went missing in action after you took out the disruptor. I was afraid you bought it." I shook my head and tilted my QCOM so that he could see my current location. "You're back at the store?" he said, brightening first, then scowling at the side of his office. "What the hell, man? Who are you letting ransack the place, looters?" I shook my head, then positioned the QCOM so that Ray could see my father, too. His eyes widened. "General Lightman," he said, awkwardly saluting his QCOM. "It's an honor, sir." My father returned the salute. "The honor's all mine, Sergeant," he said. "I owe you a huge debt for watching over my boy while I was gone. Thank you." "You're welcome," he said, blushing visibly. "Ray, we don't have much time," I said. "We need to access the EDA intranet node hidden here in the store. It's an emergency." Ray only hesitated for a split second. "Behind the UFO poster on the back wall." I turned and located the one he was talking about, a framed reprint of Mulder's "I Want to Believe" poster from the X-Files. I took it down, revealing what appeared to be a small titanium safe embedded in the brick wall behind it, with a keypad in its center. "The combination is 11382112, Ray said. My father grinned and punched in the numbers. The lock disengaged, and he opened the door. The only thing behind it was a row of 10 Ethernet cable ports. just like those on the back of our cable router at home. "Thank you," my father said. He turned to me. "You guys got RJ45 cable here?" I nodded. "On the wall opposite the register." He ran out, and I looked back at Ray on my QCOM. "Thanks, Ray," I said. "But now I have to ask you for another favor. A big one."
"You better make it quick, pal," he said. "The second wave is minutes away."
I gave him the short version of the story. It still took way too long. Thankfully, Ray took even less convincing than Lex or my other friends. Once I finished telling him everything my father had told me, he paused for a few moments, then nodded.
"Tell me what you need," he said.
As soon as we got our makeshift drone controller rigs connected to the hardline intranet node back in Ray's office, my father laid out the plan. Cruz, Deal, my mother, and I all watched my father's chalk talk there in the store, while Lex, Wody, and Debbie listened over their QCOMs. I wasn't a fan of several aspects of his plan, but there was no time to argue or to come up with another solution. My father wished everyone good luck. Then the others stayed inside, while my mother and I walked outside to bid him farewell. "What if you can't delay the icebreaker long enough for me to get there?" I asked, once we were far enough outside that my friends wouldn't hear his answer. "Don't worry," he said. "I'll take care of it, okay?" "Okay." He grabbed me and pulled me into a fierce embrace. "I love you, son," he said. "Thank you for helping me do this. Thank you for believing in me. You'll never know how much that means." He kissed my forehead, then walked over to say goodbye to my mother. She wasn't crying. She'd put on her bravest face for both of us. They spoke to each other briefly, but I stayed out of earshot. I don't know what they said to each other. But my mother nodded before she kissed him goodbye, and he smiled at her. Then he turned and climbed inside my damaged interceptor, and my mother and I watched as he flew off, bound for the Raven Rock Command Center. After his ship had vanished over the horizon in a blur, we continued to stare up at the sky for a few more fearful moments, dreading what we knew would soon descend from it. Then we ran back inside the store and prepared to carry out our own part of the mission.